Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Dr. Lynn Kitai, physician and health educator, who after more than 50 years pushed aside her medical career to pursue the mass UFO sightings known as the Phoenix Lights. Lynn has appeared on multiple television and radio programs, including CNN, ABC, CBS, Fox News, and us. And she's now here to share with the latest on one of the most witnessed and important sightings, the 27th anniversary of the Phoenix Lights. Lynn, I can't believe that much time has gone by so off all this.
I mean, really. But what's amazing, and it's such a joy to visit with you, George, always, and your audience, especially since most of them are so learned, but there's so much mis and disinformation out there. It's really such a pleasure to be able to share the most credible data as a key witness and documentarian, certainly even before the mass sighting happened, the only person with 35-millimeter photographs up close and personal 2 years before and then 2 months before, which we can get into, where I caught the same mile-wide formation of lights, but at a distance, head-on and then turning into a V, and the next morning finding out after I called around, because it was so awesome and wondrous and curious, down air traffic controllers at Sky Harbor, who saw the same thing at the same time over Class B restricted airspace, and we can get into that. There is so much more that people just don't get. It's so funny because when I look at, especially on the anniversary day, which is March 13th, there's so many articles that come out that other people write and comments from people, and it's almost comical, the mis and disinformation out there. I mean, not only has the Phoenix Lights story continued to evolve, but so has the Phoenix Lights project, and we'll get into the mis and disinformation. It wasn't just one or two events, as you would hear. Certainly, most people were outside looking up at the sky at the Hale-Bopp Comet for a glimpse, when they also caught a glimpse of 1 to 8 miles wide, we know now, from Peter Davenport, director of the National UFO Reporting Center. One of these objects was 8 miles wide. Can you imagine? Either these orbs, these balls of light that seem to be attached to something or at a force field holding them in rock-solid equidistant formation, V formation, triangle, boomerang, or actual craft. And if your listeners can get onto the Phoenix Lights Network website, packed with information, but if you go to the GAP page, GAP, Geospatial Animation Project, we're going to talk about our scientific study the second hour. I really look forward to that for the experiencer, because that's really important, too, how it affected the witness. But the data itself, if you go to that GAP page, Geospatial Animation Project, a 12-year study of hundreds of reports from two or more people had to see the same craft. And we're talking an actual craft with gunmetal bottom. Some people saw windows, even beings at the windows. There were 10 different craft. Now, whether it was one craft that could morph or look different, or the perspective from where the person was standing, or a parade. And when you look at the real raw data, it wasn't just one or two events, and it wasn't just for a couple hours. Most people, yes, called into the news or whatever between 8 and 10 when they were outside looking up at the sky at the Hale-Bopp Comet, when they also got a glimpse of these UAP, unexplained aerial phenomena. But it was much more far-reaching than that. The mass sighting actually started at 3 p.m. in the afternoon in Arizona, daylight sightings, 5 o'clock hour. There were Native Americans reporting it in New Mexico, 7 o'clock hour and beyond in California. 10, 11 o'clock hour, there were two commercial airline pilots who called in to report one of these craft was covering Las Vegas, and the sightings continued all the way until 5:30 the next morning. That's the last report that I was given personally by the head of a Boeing crew that was coming into Sky Harbor International Airport at 5:30 the next morning, and one of these craft was covering their tarmac. And for those also who don't know, at about 3 a.m., the next morning, there was an alleged call from, there was a call, actually, that was recorded, and part of it is in our documentary, from an alleged crewman from Luke Air Force Base who called the National UFO Reporting Center, very professional, very detailed, that jets were sent off from Luke Air Force Base. And we have civilians that have come forward now to tell us that they have seen it taking off from Luke Air Force Base to intercept and get gun camera film of one of these massive mile-wide craft hovering right over Central Phoenix, 7th Avenue Indian School. And as the craft, the Luke Air Force craft approached this UAP, the lights started to dim. And as it got closer, the entire thing blinked out, supposedly freaking out one of the pilots who this alleged crewman said he helped out of his craft. He was so shaken up by it. And Luke went on lockdown after that, supposedly. And we have civilians that actually saw this craft reappear after the Air Force left and continue on its way past South Mountain. And for anybody that doesn't know what happened on March 13th, as far as what people saw, because the technology is incredible in and of itself, while people were looking up in the sky, and this we're talking rooftop level, totally silent, these massive craft or these formations of lights that seemed to be attached to something. People would look up in between, it would block out the stars very, very softly, gently, right over their heads. Some people said they could have thrown a rock at it. It was that close.
There wasn't even a hum, was there?
Right, totally silent. In fact, some people, George, very good point, because some people saw it take off at blink speed without even dispersing the air. Other people saw these orbs detach from the main object, go out into the environment, and then redock with it later. I mean, incredible technology. One of the craft, if you look at the Gap page on the Phoenix Lights Network website, actually split in two and shot straight up. The technology is to be sure, is incredible, and I'm very excited, by the way, to present the data, the raw data, to this premier conference that's going to be happening at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. I'm so excited and proud to be part of what's called Hangar 18 UFO Congress next September 20th and 22nd. And there'll be more details on the Phoenix Lights website, as well as the Phoenix Lights Network Facebook page for those who are interested in joining us there, because it should be really, really interesting. But there's so much more to the story, and it continues to evolve. I mean, there's new things every year that come forward. It's amazing. Not only in the data itself, as far as what people saw and how it affected them, we'll talk about later, but also in the dedicated projects that we're doing to raise awareness. You know, our documentary, which we're going to be showing actually this Sunday, I host and organize a wonderful event for anyone in the Phoenix area. It's almost sold out, so get your tickets now at the Scottsdale Harkin Shea Theater. What's really interesting is not only do we show our internationally award-winning documentary, but we have speakers, and this year, brand new, it's very, very exciting, because as you know, the more credible people that come forward, George, the more credibility it lends to the whole sighting in and of itself. And this year, for the first time, we have two retired police officers that are going to tell all. This is like unheard of, because the police certainly have seen a lot of things and have been called to a lot of sightings. And they're just like pilots. They're really threatened with their careers if they come forward.
I was going to say, were they told to shut up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're going to tell stories about some of the police that actually saw the Phoenix lights. We have a Phoenix 911 police operator in the documentary who said they got hundreds of calls and even admitted that they sent out helicopters to investigate it, but they're not allowed to talk about it. And these two wonderful people, Marianne, Rob, and Dave Rich, formed this organization. It's a brand new organization called UAP, Unexplained Aerial Phenomena, -PD, because they want to encourage police to come forward now, because there's so much behind the scenes with that. And another exciting thing that's happening, as I said, the more credible people that come forward, is I was also asked to be the founding member of the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance. And we'll talk more about that as it grows. But there's so many celebrities. I didn't realize.
it's huge. Huge.
Yeah. That have seen things from John Lennon to Elvis Presley. I mean, and what's really exciting, too, in our event, not only do we have the speakers, but we have a Q&A, which it's the first of its kind to have mainstream come to a movie and then have a speaker and really learn and what's really going on and learn the real facts, as well as a Q&A. And not only do we have firsthand witnesses to the mass sighting, but we also have a firsthand witness, Alice Cooper, who's our own Arizona music icon, who not only saw it during the mass sighting, but also saw the Phoenix lights in another sighting. And we're going to do a remote Q&A with him, as well as, and I'm sure you probably heard this, and he didn't come forward for a long time, the actor Kurt Russell, our beloved actor Kurt Russell, who was actually reporting it to Sky Harbor Air Traffic Control as he was on close approach to the airport.
Yeah, he was a pilot, isn't he?
He was a private pilot, and he was piloting his Cessna. And the story, and his story alone, is really fascinating, which we can talk about later, because he didn't talk about it for 2 years. He totally forgot about it until he saw something on television with Goldie Hawn. And some other people had that same experience, by the way, which we'll talk about. But he was reporting it to air traffic control, and I, of course, didn't find out until 2017 when he came forward, while I was filming it. My signature video was being taken while Kurt Russell was reporting it, which is pretty cool.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Linda, let us go back to March 13th, 1997. For those people who weren't around then or who we weren't familiar with what happened, give us an overview.
Okay, Reader Digest version. on March 13th, as I mentioned earlier, very clear night, beautiful night, spring night here in Arizona and the Southwest, when thousands of people were purposely looking up at the sky for a glimpse of the Hale-Bopp Comet. And that's what's so interesting, George, because did whoever did this know that people were looking up, like in 1991 in Mexico, when thousands of people were looking up at the sky at the eclipse and there were UFOs that abounded?
Yeah.
But at any rate, what they caught a glimpse of besides the Hale-Bopp was 1 to 8 mile wide, which is mind-boggling to me. That Peter Davenport, from his vast database at the National UFO Reporting Center a couple of years ago, and I thought he was kidding, but he wasn't. One of the
he doesn't joke around.
No, he does not. He's very professional, and I really value his data and his expertise. One of these objects was 8 miles wide. Can you imagine? But at any rate, people were seeing this right over their heads. We have witnesses that are so prolific in their descriptions. I mean, that's what's so funny. When I read these articles or I read the comments that people made, it's very interesting that people that actually saw it, it really affected them, and we're going to get into that at a very deep level. And they just, it's not a belief anymore, it's a knowing. People that didn't see it come up with a plethora of excuses that it's, you know, conventional aircraft, or it's Starlink, this is 30 years ago, right? Or it's drones, or it's flares, and a lot of people feed into that, and I get it.
The government came out and said it was flares, right?
Exactly. Well, that's how the story unfolded, too, and I don't know if we have time before the break, but very intriguing, because after thousands of people, and we're talking at least 10 to 20,000 people throughout the Southwest, but certainly in Arizona, this went right over their heads. I mean, we have one fella who is amazing.
Literally.
He was standing by a light in this, you know, a street light, and it was right over him. And the way he describes these, he was looking in this like big canister with a, and he's a registered nurse and a hospice worker and very credible. And he said it looked like lava coming down, and he thought it was going to hit him. And then suddenly it shot up again, and he didn't feel any heat. He didn't. I mean, when you listen to the descriptions of the people, it's really mind-boggling. But anyway, what's interesting was all these thousands of people, even as a public safety issue, there was no investigation. There was no explanation.
That we know of.
For months. There was nothing. I mean, even if you went to one of the elected officials, they would say, did something happen on March 13th? Until May, when Councilwoman Vice Mayor of Phoenix, Frances Barwood, was the only elected official that innocently, because she got over 1,000 calls herself, and she returned about 700 of them, and she was just doing her job. She didn't see it, but she was just, you know, taking care of her constituency, and asked innocently in a council meeting in May, now this was months later, for an investigation, and she was plastered. I'll tell you, George, as I mentioned at the top, my husband and I had a very close sighting in 95, right outside, literally and figuratively, outside our bedroom window, where these orbs were in a pyramid formation, one on top and two closely aligned underneath. And not only did they seem to have an intelligent presence behind them, it was very unnatural, but they cloaked right in front of us, and I got 35-millimeter photographs. I'm the only one with 35-millimeter photographs of these UAP, unexplained aerial phenomena, up close and personal, prior to, during, and after the mass sighting, which, by the way, has now been hailed as the most witnessed, most documented, most important mass anomalous aerial sighting in modern history. And I didn't even know who to show it to. This was 2 years before. No interest, no knowledge in the topic. And then, as I mentioned, two years later, when I wondered what this advanced technology was for 2 years, I see at a distance this massive array, equidistant, over a mile wide, lights that was really awesome, and I started photographing them on 35 millimeter, the only 35 millimeter as well, but also analyzed and authenticated by military and university optical experts throughout the last couple decades. And, you know, they can't tell me what they are. But anyway, head on, and they seemed to turn into a V. And it was so unnerving, George, that the next morning, I called around, and I finally found air traffic controllers at Sky Harbor International Airport, who were very forthcoming initially, who described them. I mean, they were excited that I saw them at a distance, that they had shown up over Class B restricted airspace. There's a 30-mile radius around the center of the airport. No one's allowed in that airspace unless they call the air traffic, and nobody did. So they were very alarmed when they popped up. They looked on radar, did not show up on radar. They took their high-powered binoculars to look. And in their own words, they said there were 6 points of light, totally equidistant from each other, massive span, over a mile wide, that seemed to be attached to something, but they couldn't quite see what these lights were attached to. And you would hear that again by numerous people on March 13th. But one of them was a meteorologist and a climatologist. He actually taught at one of the universities here. And he said that the entire thing turned as a unit. Now, this did not show up on radar, which really worried them, by the way. But the entire thing turned as a unit, 1,000 feet altitude. And he said it rose slowly in synchrony and moved behind South Mountain, which is just south of the airport.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.